The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up. One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I do not have a clue what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, you are doing that, do. With me, the cabinet is beginning to take shape. Mr. Philip Edward Davis, I hope we stop calling him Brave now that he's the Prime Minister. Mr. Philip Davis is causing his cabinet to take form. And I brought with me somebody that I think is the most capable person of helping me dissect the hidden messages. And there's nobody in my mind better than him to do it. He's my friend. And actually, someone that I consider to be one of the most talented journalists in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I say that without fear of reproach. Go on and prove it to me that he's not. Corville Pyfrom, he joins me this morning. Corville, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Levin, it's good to be here with you.
It's good to see
you. My first time on Unleashed.
Oh, yeah?
My very first time.
I haven't seen you in a long time as well. How has things been going down in Angleston?
Well, I mean, considering that they delivered the largest victory for the PLP, I think it's still in celebration mode there, eh?
Are you still a ardent supporter of the member of parliament on the ground there?
Not a voter of, but a supporter of, eh? Let's be clear. But she knows that I love her dearly.
You love her dearly.
She knows that, right?
You and the member of parliament down there, you all share a wonderful relationship. It's always so wonderful to see it. You know, I tell people all the time that if this was a republic-type system, definitely Dennis Hannah Martin could be the governor of Angleston and Corville Pyfrom could be either the mayor or the district, what do they call it? District Council General is what I think they call it. Yeah. Because, I mean, there are, certainly I believe that you would have run a better race than Quentin Pazeni. I'm willing to wage that bet, for sure, of course. You are like the Kai Mills, what is the word that I'm looking for? Less eccentric, but kind of like the Kai Mills of Angleston. You resonate on the ground from as far south as Montalite, all the way to about as far north as definitely
Ethel Street.
Yeah,
No.
I would say at least Cordo Avenue, and about as far west. Certainly, you run into problems. You would run into problems as the member of parliament for Angleston when you try to cross Blue Hill Road.
Yeah, definitely.
But anywhere in that box between Blue Hill East and the Marathon Mall, Corville Pyfrom is the man. And so, you know, I await to see what happens in another two election cycles if you decide to go in that direction. Who knows? Maybe you may end up with the Fred Mitchell blessing that he got from his predecessor in office. Maybe Glennis will say to you, Corville, I do not know another man that is capable of gaining the hearts and the minds and the souls of the people of Angleston quite like you.
But to do any of that, I would first have to relinquish my very prestigious role as your wingman.
Well, you know, maybe we could get you in on weekends. How does that sound? All right, so you've seen what's been happening. I want to say, despite all of the things that have been said, I will tell you what I think is most noted and has not been said. Obadiah Hercules Wilscombe, not appointed to the cabinet as yet. I don't suspect that this prime minister will have a cabinet larger than 15, because, you know, I don't think he's ever been a proponent of large cabinets, as well as coming off of the heels of what could be or is deemed by some people as a totalitarian for a prime minister. He doesn't want to seem to be a bully prime minister. If you notice his tone so far, as he seems to want to be, interestingly, a populist prime minister, which Hubert Minnis always claimed to be. He's a man that always does what the people say. But Mr. Davis has done things like in his first 48 hours, relax the curfew, and things like that that people have actually been asking for over the last 24 months, or 18 months rather. But Obadiah Wilscombe, not there. Leslie Bryce, not there, the daughter of Leslie Miller. Out of the seven females, and they say not to call them females, out of the seven women, only one has been selected thus far. Quite honestly, we are running out of portfolios that naturally people suspect women to have. And let's not kid ourselves. Social services, education, you know, you just look for women in those industries, aviation. You could kind of see a woman taking those portfolios. When you start thinking about national security and even housing and that kind of stuff, predominantly, particularly around here.
I mean, historically, that's what it's been. I don't know, though, if that's what we think. I mean, I don't know necessarily.
I believe that if you go to the common man on the street, Corvell, and you say to him, who do you think should be the next minister of social service? I guarantee you 8 times out of 10, if a woman's name is called.
Yes, but is that... Does that not also just fall in line because that's what it has been historically? I mean, we have given those positions, but there, you know, Mother Pratt served as the Minister of National Security.
She has. And I remember people having a difficult time with that. You know, I was in service during the time of Mother Pratt, and I tell people all the time, I think Mother Pratt was just so soft. And it's because of who she is, you know. She's mothering and compassionate, and she don't want to see Pookie them go get hanging thing like that, right? So she just couldn't warm up to the idea that it is an eye for an eye around this place.
And actually, I mean, I thought it was either going to be national security or return to transportation for Glenys Hannah Martin.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I thought it would be.
Well, I definitely didn't see education. I didn't see education at all.
No, I did not.
But what do you think that relationship is going to turn into between her and Belinda Wilson?
I've seen people say that or seem to suggest that they expect there to be this acrimonious relationship. I don't. I think Glenys Hannah Martin is very, she's stern and she's firm, but she's also very good at listening and very good at quickly learning where the trouble spots are. And so I think that this may be the first time in a long time that, you know, all stakeholders feel as though they have an ally in the minister. You know what I mean? I think this is going to represent...
And you don't think that that would have been the case with an Alfred Sayers? Because here's the reason I thought Alfred Sayers. I know that the union president for the Bahamas Union of Teachers she's dogged in her approach of getting what it is she feels like her union members deserve. Yeah. And rightfully so. And Alfred has always been a very mild-mannered, very mild-tempered individual who, for all intents and purposes, is always willing to find a compromise. And I think that is what you will need with a minister of education.
But I think Glenys Hannah Martin gives you all those things as well. She's stern, she's firm, but she's not rude, and she's not bullyish.
Sure.
You know what I mean? She will stand her ground. But again, like I said, I think she's willing to listen. I think she will quickly take on what the problems are that the stakeholders feel.
Alfred says in the Ministry of Works. That was also another interesting one for me.
Well, he's going to have to get a bit bullish for that one, eh?
I don't think he has it. I don't think he has it in him. I think Alfred says as the Minister of Works, in my estimation, is Mr. Davis proving that he wants to rid the PLP of its perception of corruption. What I mean in simple language is I won't put a man there that I sure people don't think is thief. Nobody ever suspects Alfred Sayers of being any kind of corrupt in any way. Like, the man just doesn't have the ability to conceive corruption. And I think that the prime minister, in his wisdom, understands the image that Mr. Sayers appreciates or enjoys from the Bahamian population.
So you're saying that this is an admission then that the Ministry of Works is regarded as the ministry you go to for, you know, your kickbacks or
things like the LOI can happen in the Ministry of Works. Okay. And so to prevent him from
that's
having,
the big money ministry.
Right. To prevent him from having things like that pop up on his watch, he has a man there that is legally astute. Mm. A man there that is senior in politics, that is competent in legislation and understands the inner workings of
and that is thought highly of
departments and has the perception of integrity. Mm. You just imagine that if there is $1 billion on the ground scattered in $1 bill notes, Alfred Sayers will pick up every single one of them, vacuum seal it, and bring it to you and say, I found this money and it was sitting here on the ground. I've brought it for you to have.
It's very interesting because I'd like you to also recall the three most recent holders of that office.
Mm-hmm. One of them was the prime minister.
Exactly.
So. And under the prime minister's watch happened to the LOI.
I'm just saying. I mean, yeah. So you know, this is. I think yesterday also, or since the start of this administration too, I think a big part of what the prime minister is now wanting to do is to show people too, I'm my own man. This is not Christie 2.0, and you know.
I see the ghost of Perry Christie popping its head up in his finance strategy.
Well, Mr. Halkidis, we can't shake that.
No, but he's also gone back with the investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's the investment portfolio in his accountant and deputy prime minister, mm-hmm. which is the backdoor way to bring Chester Cooper into the Ministry of Finance.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point that ministry portfolio will have to overlap in the office of the finance minister. And then you have Michael Alkidis as Minister of Economic Affairs.
Yeah, where is finance?
The Prime Minister is going to
have Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister.
Okay.
But it is the same Christie model. Remember, Christie had Kailash Rahul, Minister of Investments, Michael Alkidis, Minister of Finance, State for Finance and Financial Services, and Christie held the substantive portfolio of Minister of Finance, right? And so...
Not Financial Services.
Alkidis was...
So it was Ryan Pinder.
You're right.
And then Hope Strawn went...
I don't know. But the same three-leaf clover kind of module that they had with the Christie administration is the one that I'm noticing here with this appointment of Minister of Investment, Minister of Economic Affairs, you know what I mean, and then the Prime Minister's portfolio.
Mm.
So I see that as the ghost of Perry Christie a little bit. Of course, I think it'll work a little different because he won't have Chester Cooper in there every day. Kailash Rahul and Halkidis were in the office with Mr. Christie every day. Of course, aviation alone will keep Chester busy enough to stay out of Mr. Davis's way. Now, there is something else I want to talk to you about. This is just me pulling things out of the sky. Michael Darvall. I don't know. Automatic pick, sure, because definitely they want a doctor leading the charge. That seems to be the popular tone around here these days. Notwithstanding that, the engineer that they put there was, give me a word, he was. That's it. Right? And they retreated to a physician.
Right.
I don't know if Dr. Michael Darvall has ever struck me as having the level of dynamism it takes, though, to get... Our healthcare system is not in a regular place.
Mm-hmm.
This is an irregular place for it to be, albeit we are used to it crumbling. I think now it is crumbling at a rate of speed like we've never seen. And I'm not sure if Dr. Michael Darvall kind of invokes the kind of inclusive policymaking, the kind of vivification, if you will, in the Ministry of Health that kind of causes people to want to see the dawn of a new day. How do you feel about that appointment?
This was perhaps the least unexpected one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm totally on board with what you're saying. And I think Dr. Darvall is quickly going to have to step it up, right? Because he is, you know, for right now, going to be perhaps one of the most visible and most sought-after ministers within this administration, just given the climate that we're in.
Right.
And I think it's important what people now expect. Now, you know, we want somebody that is able to speak to us and really give the information and give assurances, eh?
Yeah. And the thing I think will be to his credit, though, is the NHI was created under the Christie administration.
Right.
Which means it was a PLP portfolio thing. I can tell you from my own intimate knowledge that while it was developed tremendously under the FNM, it was never really something that Dr. Hubert Minnis bought into. I can tell you that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that, in my estimation, they have had wonderful opportunities to run the vaccine protocol through the NHI. Mm-hmm. They would have had a wonderful opportunity. I see they're not talking about free testing. It would be marvelous to simply run that through the NHI, because NHI already has three laboratories that the government of the Bahamas pays for its testing. So I don't understand why we would do it any other way. And I think that because it's now Michael Darvill, because it is now the PLP will understand the mechanics and the machinery that the National Health Insurance is, and somehow put that over and make it a more trusting process, right? Because what will happen, and you've had the opportunity to test the system, you end up with a physician that mm-hmm. you kind of know because you go to see him or her regularly. He or she will then put you in a rotation of either every 14 days, you come to your physician and you get tested, and they will have your results for you in 24 hours, etc. And what that will do is that will give you a schedule of testing that is consistent enough to reduce your possibility of exposure. If they do it that way, I see it as being a whole lot less messy. If they do it that way, I actually see vaccinations, inoculations taking an uptick, because a lot of the difficulty for people was it seemed more about opening the economy mm-hmm. than about individual health. And so I don't really care if you need to get the economy open. I'm not putting myself to risk for it. Mm-hmm. But if you got my doctor, my personal physician that I go to all the time, to tell me the very same thing, I trust him a whole lot more. And as a consequence, I may be more willing to listen.
Yeah, but I still think this is fine. Getting the problems fixed is one thing. Mm-hmm. Making me understand what you're fixing is another thing. And I think that this administration, right out the gate, is going to have a huge issue with communications. I mean, and when you're dealing...
So they should come and hire you?
Not as the Minister of Health, but I mean, for maybe something else. But I think you talk about Dr. Darvill, you know, not having the charisma and all of that. It's going to matter. Mm-hmm. It's going to matter because for everything that he says, the media will then run to Dr. Sands to challenge it. Mm. And so you've got to be as strong or as close to that as possible. That's going to matter a whole lot. And to a large degree, for many people, Dr. Darvill is still a stranger.
Yes, he's from Freeport. And, yeah. you know my rules.
And he was like, what, something for Minister of Grand Bahama?
Yeah. So let us think about this, right? And you call an interesting name there. I am of the opinion, let's switch gears. We're not talking about the PLP anymore. Let's talk about the FNM a little bit. The Prime Minister, former, has decided that he will stay on. Mm-hmm. If he does, I see one of two things happening. He's going to be the first party leader in the history of this country that has had the opposition taken from him, that lost an election, and that has had the opposition taken from him again. If he stands on his feet in the House of Assembly to do anything other than tender a resignation, I believe that there will be a vote of no confidence in the leader of the opposition, and the Governor General will have to remove him. I don't know if he wants to put himself through that entire embarrassing situation, but I do want to tell you what I think. I think the only reason that the Prime Minister former is holding on to leader of the opposition is so that he can stack the Senate and not appoint Dr. Dwayne Sands and hold on to Kalani for long enough to ensure that he completely kills the aspirations of Hubert Ingraham. That is what I believe.
Hubert Ingraham?
Of course, Hubert Ingraham wanted to see Dr. Dwayne Sands lead the Free National Movement.
Okay.
And I believe that Dr. Minnis realized and understands that an appointment to the Senate could very well translate into some sort of leadership hopefulness for Dr. Dwayne Sands. And I am of the opinion that you will see one bunch of neophytes, right? Dudes you don't even know, appointed to the Senate, I mean, to make a complete trip down of this operation. Mm-hmm. All in an attempt to strong arm or stiff arm Dr. Dwayne Sands. That is my estimation. Mm. That is the only reason he could be holding on to power. I cannot see any other reason for him to do it.
And if what you're saying is true, I mean, I salute Dr. Minnis. I mean, I think that's pretty tactical and kind of genius. Why, though?
I mean, the ship is already sinking. Why not just hand over the reins?
I don't know. Why hand it over to people, though, that you deem have tried in all their ways to undermine you?
Well, Dr. Sands has pledged his support to the Prime Minister on every occasion.
I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm just saying if the Prime Minister is of the view that this man, that this group of people have tried to undermine him, why should he aid in their political climbing? I just don't...
He wouldn't be aiding anything if he resigns. Listen to me. The prime minister...
But you're saying the reason he's not doing it is because he does... This is all to...
To stiff-arm him. Right. You didn't win.
And specifically, Dr. Sands and the former prime minister.
Yes. That is my assessment of it.
Okay.
My assessment of it is, you didn't win, mm-hmm. right? This is what he's going to say to Dr. Dwayne Sands. You didn't win, and if you won't be leader, you got to win.
And we've already concluded, too, that Dr. Sands, in fact, wants Killarney.
I never said anything about Dr. Sands wanting Killarney. Mm. I'm saying...
That he doesn't attempt Killarney.
That he
didn't be thinking about it.
Right. You're not going nowhere. That's my seat. And I'll sit in it as an independent.
Right.
You see? Okay. And that is... Because, you know, you only... Only he who sits in the chair holds the chair.
Right.
And so as long as Dr. Menezes' posterior is in the chair, then nobody else's can be, right?
Mm.
And I believe that is all in an attempt. So he won't, as long as he still has the reins of leadership, he won't appoint Dwayne Sands to the Senate, right? Because then that renews the call and makes him relevant in the media for the call for leadership. Albeit the FNM doesn't want to have a scenario where their leader isn't in the lower house. And also, allows him to stay in his Killarney seat, which then does away with the whole question of who will pick up the Killarney seat should he step aside.
How much pressure do you imagine Dr. Minnis is now facing from the FNM Council?
None. And I'll tell you why. I don't think it'll be the FNM Council that will do it to him. It's going to be the Parliamentary Caucus. The Parliamentary Caucus are going to very subtly sit there and say nothing and let the meritorious them people do whatever it is that they just do and sit right there and say nothing. Because remember now, the power ultimately comes back to the House.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we walk out this little red room that y'all got these bunch of little red chairs in, no problem.
So among the FNM council that he talks of, he's really the competent authority there, right?
Correct. Right? Over there, he's the CA. He moves over to the Parliament as the JA, right? When he gets over there, the Parliamentary Caucus will speak. And the minute the Speaker of the House of Assembly asks them what it is that they want to say, they would... Mr. Speaker, are you pleased to announce that we are moving a vote of no confidence? And your meritorious members can't save you here. So what's your plan?
Save yourself
the embarrassment.
Of the seven, the parliamentarians, you do not...
Who of them is fond of him? It's definitely not Michael Pintard.
No, you don't think so.
You mean the same...
Crazy.
That's Yanni, son. That don't count. Okay, who else?
Mr. Cartwright, you don't imagine he is?
No. Who else?
I'm trying to remember who's left.
Adrian White. He may have the support of Adrian Gibson.
Mm.
Right?
Okay,
but that's only one.
I think Adrian and Adrian.
Adrian White is Brent Simonette's...
Not Adrian White, the Long Island MP.
Adrian Gibson.
Right.
Who else?
Iram.
You think Iram will support him? I think Iram will want to be popular. He will not want to be the lone wolf that supported Minnis in the House. So I don't think he will go with that either. The only hope he has will be Adrian Gibson. Adrian Gibson is the only one that is, in my mind, and I'm going to use this word loosely, cocky enough to say, no, I stand up for him and I don't care what y'all do. That is the only person I could see supporting him if they tried that kind of maneuver. But why would you let yourself be ousted as leader of the opposition twice? It doesn't happen. It just doesn't align itself with good Westminster conventions. Like, literally by now. Do you realize that the Prime Minister could have easily tendered his resignation as Prime Minister, step aside and work out an agreement with his party, give his party 9 more months. They would say, you know something, we switch leaders. Give us an opportunity. We need to get our foot back on the ground. We will take care of this issue. Whomever had, arisen to leadership, fine. We've seen the same thing with Brexit, have we not? How many prime ministers did London change during the Brexit exercise? 3?
Mm.
It's not unusual. And at least those people get, lordship somewhere or... You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not unusual, but I mean it's unusual for hair.
But why would you
sink
the whole ship?
It's not unusual within the system, but it's unusual for hair. I don't imagine anybody that that requires really like a scaling back of hubris of selflessness that I just don't think exists that much.
And so we sink the entire ship.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then also too, I mean, there's something to be said about this bubble. When you're you drive up to places, doors are open for you, people run around and tell you, You're doing a great job. Your phone rings, people saying prayers for you. So you still think that you enjoy some high degree of goodwill.
It's
interesting
that you say that, though. You know, I told somebody yesterday, because somebody asked me yesterday during the swearing in, they said, well, how you just really know when you're in the minister no more? I say when the car don't pull up. When the car don't pull up. Like when you wake up tomorrow morning and you put your necktie on, because you could still feel like the minister, you know.
Right.
You still got your little briefcase you had. You got your briefcase, you got your pinstripe suit, you got your purple necktie, you walk out the door, your shoes already buff because your driver buffed them the day before. And you get outside and you realize that it's 20 minutes to 9 and you look at your watch, it's probably a Rolex now because you buy yourself one of those in your ministerial capacity. And you say to yourself, where's the car?
Mom, but this system really doesn't leave much dignity for an exit though, does it?
No. As a matter of fact, if you are a minister with a family island seat, right? I'm just going to use Darren Enfield because, you know, he knows that I'm good for a laugh with him. Imagine you carry your bag, right? Because he's ex-military as well. So we always travel heavy, right? And you forgot how heavy your bag used to be because you had the guy that would tote it for you and kind of roll it for you wherever you went. And you get off the plane, you left as minister, you come back as Darren. Mm-hmm. You hit the airport. The what is the name of the guy that takes your stuff off the belt? When he throws your bag to you and you catch it, boom, you remember, mother's sake, I'm no longer the minister.
Just like that.
That's how you know. That is how you know. There's no letter. Because what they had assumed is that there's some sort of a letter and they call you in. No.
No, there's no transition period. There's nothing to that.
You know that you're
no farewell from the staff, nothing.
You know that you're no longer the minister when the car doesn't pull up. It's as simple as that.
And I mean, it happens from the night of the election, right? I mean, like, that's
it. Yeah, yeah. Let me see if I can get a couple of these text messages in, Corva. This one here says, great show as usual. The God King has fallen. Do you think the FNM will get rid of the God King as leader? I don't know. I mean, I think the most humiliative thing to do would be to simply step aside. Except, of course, I believe that he wants to out the flame of former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Your assessment of the Minister of Health is correct. The new minister needs to understand that the formulation of a policy won't help. He has to understand people. Bullying won't help him. He has to have strategic vision to convince the people, and healthcare professionals need to be successful. Okay. This one here says, wasn't Wayne Monroe the lawyer for those senior officers in the case against the government? Also, I wonder if Mr. Monroe still believes in flogging illegal immigrants, like he said. Didn't Ryan Pinder resign from the last VLP cabinet for greener pastures at an offshore bank at Life Key? I wonder what changed from then till now. I also share that concern.
Yep.
Ryan, you can't slip down, breaking off, running out of the office at Attorney General. Mr. We can easily had a whole 5 years. So if I was the prime minister, I would make him sign some other backdoor contract that you don't go nowhere for 5 years. There will be no letting you out of my cabinet. You are going to show up to work every day.
I'd really like to know, though, this is one of those appointments that you want to, like, I'd like to know, how'd you arrive at this decision, right? I mean, did not see this coming.
Here's what the wind tells me. The wind tells me that we find ourselves in some very precarious positions with international rating agencies and with the blacklisting people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he is, in fact, a corporate lawyer that does tax law and that kind of stuff. And so they wanted that expertise on board. Again, my deal would be, why make him the substantive minister? Why not make him the minister of state and have an AG that you sure would be around? But I guess there is some seniority there. You know, Jomo Campbell, now Minister Campbell, is going to be his deputy,
Minister of State for Legal Affairs,
yes. And so, we'll see what it looks like. Hopefully, even if he slips down running out of there in the next 2.5 years because he got another wonderful job, Mr. Christie said an offer that he just couldn't turn down. If he gets another one of those, then...
I mean, you can look at yesterday's appointments, especially, you know, there are some key appointments where it just shows that obviously the leader has some, you know, high level of trust and faith in you know, there's certain appointments, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly Attorney General is one of them that you think... I think Minister of Public Works, the National Security Minister, you know, so I didn't see
Wayne Monroe coming.
Wayne
Monroe just doesn't have the deportment. I apologize. He doesn't. He walks lazily. He barely shaves his face. He's just not what you look. When you hear that the Minister of National Security is coming, you expect a certain thing to come out of the car. No.
Right.
And the only other time I've ever felt this way was with Mother Pratt. Like, I remember she would wear the big hat and the big corsage, and I would always say to myself, why doesn't this woman take some of this stuff off? You're Minister of National Security.
Who was your pick? Because you had some picks.
I actually wanted Chester Cooper to go over at Ministry of National Security, and I wanted him to be flanked with the Minister of State in the person of Clifford Scavalla. That would have been my pick.
Okay, right.
And the reason for that would have been because I didn't want Chester anywhere around money, because it's too easy for him to be conflicted. And the second thing was, I think it would have been good polish for him as somebody aspiring to be leader one day, except when you consider the fact that most ministers of national security get killed. I mean, politically, that is. So maybe this is Mr. Davis's way of trying to spare his political career, because no minister of national security ends popular, none. And I don't think Wayne Monroe cares about being popular, so it won't matter. He will probably still come out and say something like, we are going to just flog them. And people are going to clap him up because they expect that from Wayne. But did I believe Wayne Monroe would come out as minister of national security? No, I didn't. I didn't see that. That is probably the most unorthodox portfolio position that I've seen. Now, what I do suspect is a lot of the organizations have policies that are 40 years old. And they need to be rewritten and revisited. And so I believe he, along with the commander of the Defense Force, along with the commissioner of police. And I'll tell you what I also would like to see. I'd like to kind of see an amalgamation of the Department of Customs and the Department of Immigration rolled into one. We could kind of put the Department of Customs and Immigration rolled into one, put all them under the command of the Defense Force, and make that the Defense Force and broader protection, and then put them in charge of these ports so that we watch them in a real way. And we could reduce all them bunch of top-level salaries, add some more equipment, and make this thing work, right? And not just see customs as a revenue-generating arm of the government, but to see it as something that does gun influx control, that does drug influx control, and it's not very difficult to do. It's a little bit of cross training. By the time as it's all done, 5 years from now, we end up with the Department of Border Protection, and I feel like that could be a whole lot more useful. And I think Wayne Monroe is quite the guy to get that done. Who else is? Let's take a couple of these calls. Good morning, caller, you're on. Is the call there, Kermit? Morning, caller, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am not good no more because I've been holding on now for 20 minutes. On my
well, I only just see the light.
You and Corvell owe me $5 for my minutes because it ran out. But y'all right on point in terms of what y'all, your assessment of Dr. Menace, except y'all missing one big thing. That Dr. Menace is going in there as the leader of the opposition, but I don't think he's coming out. I think he's going to... he's going to do something when he get in there, and then he's going to come out. Glenys Anna Martin, love her to death. Let me tell you something, love her. I understand. Other than Finland, I think she's really the only other PLP I read.
This is a deputy I talking to now.
I know him. He got to get to know her. Glenys is Jean boy. And Wayne Monroe, let me tell you something. If you look at Wayne Monroe, you'll stereotype him like that. But let me tell you something. I've been in a case. He did a case for me in Supreme Court. And I watch him in a law class that I was involved in many years ago at R.M. Bailey. Wayne Monroe is totally different than what you're thinking he is, buddy. Don't let that fool you.
Okay.
You understand me? He's quite fit and capable for the job. You understand? At hand. And I really, really think that Dr. Menace is going to resign, and I want you to thank for taking my call.
Appreciate you very much, caller. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. You can call me. Let's take another one. Come on and call you on. Is it there or not there? Let's take the next one. Come on and call you on. Hello? Not there. Next line. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Miller?
Hey, do it.
And good morning, Cordell. I hear your voice for a little while. I guess. You come from me, the Rock Cordell, you now have a voice. I say no more on that, my brother. But, Mr. Miller, Dr. Darvill,
okay,
Michael Darvill, I encourage you to do your diligent research.
Okay.
And I will say this to you, and I will go on the record saying this. Go and ask Dr. Sands, go and ask senior veteran doctors in this country about Dr. Michael Darvill and his expertise and his knowledge. One of the best doctors in this country And I dare someone to call your talk show who is in the medical field, not who is just a texter, but in the medical field, and dispute what I'm saying. But Cornell, have that voice, my brother. You deserve it.
All right, thanks, man.
Well, they told me the same thing about Dr. Minnis. Didn't you hear that Dr. Minnis was the best?
All around the region,
all
right?
All around the region, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that translates into.
And also, too, let's also be clear here, because at no time in this conversation have we all been diminishing anyone's right. professional accomplishments or right. anything like that. I mean, right. this is very different. The of being appointed to some government post is still very different from what your day-to-day professional
yeah. acumen was. And believe it or not, personality traits matter a whole lot in government offices.
Right.
I can tell you that. Some people just have the ability to get some things done.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that Dr. Michael Darvill is up to the task.
And also, too, the man on the street loves Wayne Monroe, and you understand why. I mean, he mm-hmm. often comes across as the person who's fighting for that small man, mm-hmm. right? But now he's also got to be allies with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So yeah. now he's
often found himself on the other side.
Yeah, it's a different balancing act yeah. now, isn't it?
Right? Yeah, this one here says, Levin, I don't think he will put Leslie in the cabinet because she is married to a number man. Oh, my God. Levin, you got anything left from Lefty from Sesame Street? I'll see what I can do for you. The situation with Ryan Pinder this time around is different. Back then, Ryan saw the ship under the leadership of Perry Christie was sinking, and he decided to get off in advance rather than ruin his reputation and go down with it. This time around, he's not on the ship, per se. He is in the tender. Okay. This one here says, Levin, ease up on Wayne and give him a chance. I like Wayne.
That's what I'm thinking.
Do you people not know
Wayne? That's a good friend, right?
Yeah, like, I really like Wayne Monroe. But again, you have to understand that there is a lot of, pageantry involved in being the minister of...
Yes.
Like, I don't think any other minister has as many ceremonies and church services I mean, Jesus, they have minister divisions. I don't see Wayne Monroe as being a fella that interested and watching a bunch of man dress up in tunics, talking about they doing a march past him with a sword. I could just hear them saying now, excuse me, minister, we have on the calendar minister's division, and Wayne can say something like, what I can do, watch man walk up and down all day. They don't have no boat to go in.
Exactly.
I just don't exactly. see him being That's interested true. In that, right? Yeah. So... the Minister of National Security comes with a level of pageantry that I don't think Wayne Monroe is interested in. And that's my apologies if that is a wrong calculation of him. Let's take another call. Good morning, Carly, you're on. Carly, there?
Cabral, you all right?
Hey, all is
hey.
Well.
Hey.
I think Leslie will be good with Travis Job.
Who?
He's celebrated at the Ministry of Tourism.
Paul Secretary
of Tourism? Yes, Minister of Tourism.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay.
He will be good in the cabinet. Because he's married to a boy and a number man.
Okay.
But that wouldn't go good with the church people.
What? I mean, how does that matter?
Because state secret. And you have to, then wouldn't that look good,
Okay.
That's something that's too intricate. With the states, too. With the people from the United States. Anyhow, let's get back at hand. To remember now that the National Security Minister to act as the chairman, not run the police force or the defense force. He had to buy the boats, buy the cars, and then watch over them.
Are you hearing anything that I say? Listen, take it from me. I've been in the service, right? Like, they do this thing called, I don't remember what they do. It's in the wardroom. But the officers all wear a uniform called Red Sea Rig. It is a green cummerbund and a mess coat with skinny black pants. I just don't see Wayne Monroe being interested in coming to this. I could literally see him saying, why do I have to come to that? You're the minister, sir. Yeah, well, the minister no longer comes to this. I don't see him being interested in that kind of stuff. And those are the kinds of things that are for morale building. Like the troops want to see their minister. The troops want their minister to come down and visit. And I don't see Wayne as being
interested. And also, I think you hit on something with this deportment, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is, the minister becomes the public face of that ministry. You
Correct.
Are the PR man for it.
Yeah.
And again, national security is one of those ministries that is where its minister becomes the most sought after person for the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the example of answers that you give Wayne saying, I can see where this would come across rubbing people the wrong
Correct.
way.
Correct. And I'm trying to save him from that. We got to take a break. Don't move. It's me and Corvell. I got Corvell Pyfrom in studio, y'all. The best journalist that I've ever met in the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He's my friend. I have him on air. We're talking about the cabinet picks right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Levin Miller. I'm Unleashed. Don't move. I've got more show after the break.
Scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Levin Miller. I'm Unleashed. Thank you for staying with me. Corvell Pyfrom is my guest. We're chopping up the cabinet appointments. Again, we still can't understand when will Obi be appointed? Oh, when will Obi come through, right? Minister Grandmama, what do you think?
So we've concluded
tourism
that...
Tourism is gone.
Gone. Well,
aviation
so,
is gone.
So... At this point, it's only Grand Bahama and
social services
or maybe transport. Right,
but what would they put transport with? Because transport usually goes with either works or aviation, and now both of those are gone. Are you going to make transport a standalone? There's also culture, and I see some people calling for culture to be a standalone ministry. I think that's an absolute waste of human time to make culture a standalone. We don't do enough culture things yet to need an entire ministry of culture. Literally, you could almost have a department of culture, quite honestly.
Right.
But I don't know. Transport and culture won't go well together.
No, but we've had in years past, transport and local government have gone together. I don't know. But yes. But is Clay Sweeting now, does that, what is this Family Island Affairs
family
thing?
Family Island Affairs is interesting. What I thought would be the, and you know, for me, it's all about portfolio synergy. I think if you're going to have a Minister of Family Island Affairs, then that minister ought to be the Minister of Grand Bahama and Family Island Affairs, or Grand Bahama, Abaco and Family Island Affairs. And it's because while those two islands are family islands, they operate entirely differently from all other family islands. But I don't see the need to separate the Minister of Grand Bahama from the Minister of Family Island Affairs. It doesn't make sense to me.
Do you imagine he'll keep that the ministry going that Iram Lewis most recently served as Minister of?
No, because if you remember, the Progressive Liberal Party wanted to simply have a czar of disaster preparedness.
Right.
And I think that the FNM was foolhardy to adjust that strategy. I think that if you have a czar, he kind of meets with the commander of the Defense Force, the commissioner of police, the director of NEMA, and he coordinates the efforts between those organizations. You don't need to pay an entire ministry for that. As well as he can also liaise with the Contractors Association, because all of those people become the tentacles of his office.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay one man and a small staff, and they are responsible for activating people during disaster redevelopment times, etc. So I think we may see a going away of the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness, actually. And they may bring back the Christie model of just having a czar of disaster preparedness and reconstruction, and that saves some money in the budget. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Okay, good morning, Deidre.
Good morning.
Mr. Miller, just a side question. I have a little boat, right? And some brothers trying to get out of the country. I want to know if I could borrow one of your life rafts who are on another.
Well, I still keep in mind very nearby, because the one thing I know about weather that comes out of the Northwest is usually there's a small calm and then there's more waves.
They're floating after that.
Right. So just in the event, the waves then pick back up again, I'll make sure I don't get, swept away.
Yeah, I guess they're not enough, man, because there's so much. I thought it could be a couple of years ago, but then I let the split.
Wow.
But let me ask you. I know, I kind of didn't see Wayne Monroe being a Minister of Defense, more like a AG or something like that. I thought that would have been more his portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not my question. How you feel about the independence? You think that, I mean, I didn't expect them to win, but I also really believe that that's a good way they showed up and showed out. They got some support, and I think they really should keep their feet on the ground now. Don't wait till next, four or five years, till somebody decides to ring the bell, then they jump up willy-nilly. I think they really should stay on the ground, stay within their constituency that they wanted to be in, get to know the people really well. You understand? Like, be really supportive, if it's a birthday party or formal or whatever, and then to get to know what they really want, who all got to use the pump to really get them. That's what I really think.
Well, I think the independent movement closed the casket on the DNA this election cycle for sure. They have gotten less than 1,800 votes. They literally could stop showing up now. Secondly, these groupings all have one fatal flaw in my mind. The DNA was included. They build the entire movement around one man.
The leader.
The question becomes, if Lincoln Bain has a heart attack in the morning, what is the next plan? They kind of do them the way they do small churches. What is the plan if the pastor dies? And I don't think the coalition has a built out enough plan that speaks to that. Hopefully, if they can build out a plan, we will see them adopt the DNA's plan. Oh, just go take the DNA from her. And boom, now you have a machine, all right? But we'll see. We'll see what happens over the next 4 years. 5 years is a short time for governments. It's a long time to be in the wilderness of opposition. I also want to see McElpine appointed to the Senate by Mr. Davis. What do you think about that?
I could care less. I mean, Fred McElpine doesn't mean much to me, but I know that you like him a lot.
I think for a government that has...
But as an independent, he
garnered
the most votes, right? I mean, of any independent candidate.
But there are two independent appointments by the Prime Minister to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Why not McElpine? I mean, we had the Kung Fu Panda there the last time. We could bring McElpine in, and I think he is going to be a voice of consciousness and reason, or conscience and reason in the Senate. That kind of keeps the government accountable. I think that could be a good look of bipartisanship, although it's not going to be bipartisan at all because he's an independent. No? You can't see
it? Or could be looking for trouble. If I were Mr. Davis,
trouble? The prime minister has the right to take the appointment at whatever point he deems necessary.
Yeah, but I mean, right. And then it becomes, I took it because I don't like what he's saying. I would just leave it alone.
Hmm. Don't think that it shows a bit of maturity?
I think it looks better for all positions to appoint independents. As opposed, governments don't need to. I don't think a government needs to appoint an independent.
This here says, what happened to all the support McElpine and Chipman got from PLPs and others when they were tearing the government apart? They were being used. Now they're in the political wilderness. This one here says, Ryan Bender left for a hefty salary. I'm not going to call that number here. I can't blame him. It had nothing to do with Christie and or a sinking ship. This one here says, national security is not Minister of Defense. I don't know what that means. This one here says, Levin, I don't think he will. I read that already. Levin, where you think Brave could put your friend Obi, chairman of ZNS? And you think, listen, I want to say this. I want to see two women as the speaker and the deputy speaker of this house. It'll be history.
Okay.
And I want Mr. Davis to go down as a historic prime minister.
He already is.
Who appointed not the first female, but the youngest female ever, the youngest woman ever to the bench as speaker, and a deputy, also a woman, as a deputy speaker to the bench. And I think that would be a wonderful direction for women to go.
Great. But Mr. Davis himself is historic.
Joe Beth Colby Davis is who I'm picking to be Speaker of the House, and I want Lisa Rahming to be her deputy. How do you feel about that? You could care less.
I don't know that. She's been quite vocal in the Senate, right?
I think she's learned the protocols of Parliament kind of well. She can go on to be a wonderful speaker. And I think, to his credit, Alison Moultrie has proven that our concept of a rubber stamp speaker no longer exists. And Colby Davis is assertive, and she can go there and be an assertive speaker.
We've seen that before, though. This is Italia Johnson did not appear to just be a rubber stamp speaker. I don't think Kendall Major, is that his name? Major?
Kendall Major, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was just a rubber stamp
speaker. I think he was kind of rubber stamped. As a matter of fact, he only
came in. This one was obviously a lot more combative.
He kind of confessed at one point that, I have to go to the ministers for favors. So when I hold them accountable in here, they hold me accountable out there. I don't think Colby Davis will care about any of that. She's in a PLP safe seat, and I'll take my chances. This year says, Brother Miller and guests, their legislations and potential investments that will create an economic boost on Grand Bahama. Also, creating two additional cities on Grand Bahama with major employment development. We need this desperately from the mayor of Grand Bahama. This one here says, what if the PM had someone from each of the independent parties in the Senate? Ha, 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 ha. That'll never, ever, 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 ever happen. No. That'll never, ever, ever, ever happen.
Hi, that list of people waiting to hear from Mr. Davis is so...
Ha, ha, so. Ha, 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 ha. Hi, Levin and Corvell. Monroe will be in national security until Ryan Pinder resigns again. This one says, a minister of defense is only concerned with the armed forces. A minister of national security looks at anything that attacks our food as a concern. For example, those monster beetles. This one also says, Levin, I bet you the FNM council put Dwayne Sands in Minnesota seat in a by-election. I ain't saying nothing about that. Corvell, that's my music. Thank you for joining me. I got to have you back. You got to come back. Anyway, that's my time. It's Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've been unleashed on your radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. That's now.
Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us.